I believe there are two significant things in America that have caused what we see now as a real moral decline in our nation. One would be the removal of God from public school, not allowing the Ten Commandments, not allowing the reading of the Word of God. We heard preachers testifying here during the revival that when they were children in their public school, they read the Bible and they prayed and they did the Pledge of Allegiance. And now most of that is no longer possible in a public school. The second great thing, I believe, that has caused this nation to decline is the right for abortions. That abortion has become legalized and government tax funded. You do understand that the government has no money. It doesn't do anything to earn money. It doesn't create a product. It only has your money through taxation. And so anything the federal government, state government, anybody does is not revenue they have created, but revenue they have confiscated in the way of taxes. And so technically, your money for all these years now has been used to murder millions of babies. You think about that. All the wars that we've ever fought, the death total does not come to equal with those babies that have been aborted and killed. On yesterday, our grandbaby boys, the newest ones, had their first birthday. It's hard to believe they were 1 year old yesterday. And as I watched them play and all the people there and they're interacting and how they just had such a time, I think about what that song that Danny sang, how powerful that song is. Just a few weeks ago, our home church in Calvary, at Calvary Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, had homecoming. And we were not able to attend on the Sunday, but they did a homecoming revival. And so we went down, drove down just in time for the service on Sunday night. And the preacher, when he got ready to preach, he had been singing. We got there almost just in time for the service to start, but he had had a kind of little mini concert ahead of time. And when he got ready to come to the platform, he came up. They set two chairs on either side of the pulpit. And I thought, well, that's strange. But when he walked up, you could tell he had deformity. But he was able to walk. He walked up, and he was kind of a little short fella. And he stood, and he held those two chairs to stabilize himself as he preached. And I'm going to tell you, it was tremendous. God used him. He gave me a CD of his testimony at the close of the service. And I learned that as he was raised in Wilmington, North Carolina, his mother was expecting her second child, she thought, when she realized and they realized that they were having twins. Just a short ways into the pregnancy, the doctor said, these children are not going to live. They're going to be deformed. They won't be able to function. And the best thing we do is to have an abortion. And they tried to talk his mom into having an abortion. She said no. Said, God has given me this conception, and I will trust him. They went through all of that, the term of the babies. They were born early. And it was a traumatic birth, very difficult for the mom. And the children did have problems. And matter of fact, one of the twins went on to be with the Lord. That's the way he said it. My brother went on to be with Jesus. But they said that I would not live. But I did live. He only weighed a pound and some odd ounces. And he stayed in the hospital for a long time. And he had to have a series of surgeries. But God blessed him. He had cerebral palsy, and they said he would never read. He could never do anything. He could never walk. But he said that God blessed him, and his mother and daddy prayed for him every day. And he said, my daddy told me, son, we're going to trust God. We believe you're going to walk. And what's more, we believe God's going to use you. And he did begin to grow. And he couldn't walk, but he came to Duke, and they did a series of surgeries. And then he stayed for several months, and he said, I had to stay by myself. My mom and dad couldn't stay with me all the time. He said it was very difficult. He said, but over a period of time, they worked with me and they got me where I could stand. And then they told me, he said, we're going to teach you today how to fall. And he said, well, falling is not my problem. I fall real easy, he said, but walking's my problem. But they kept working with me, and he got where he could walk. Long story short is, God used him. He finished high school, graduated from high school. He went to UNC in Wilmington, graduated from there. God called him to preach. He went to seminary at Southeastern Seminary and graduated from there. And now he's been an evangelist for many, many years. He's married. And he said people were kind. He was an evangelist traveling, and he does, you know, he has problem walking, but he can preach and he can sing. And he prayed. He said, now, Lord, if I'm going to be in a ministry, I need a wife. And so he was pastoring a little church, filling in at a little church somewhere, and then announced to the church that he had a girlfriend, a fiance, and they were going to be married. And he said one of the members of the church came to him and kind of, you know, without any tact, said, well, Brother Steve, is she like you? And he said, I knew what he meant. Was she handicapped, or did she have problems? And I looked at him and said, no, she's not a bit like me. She's a girl. And but they have two precious children. I want to read you a verse. I know our time's gone. I'm going to read a verse, and I'm going to bring you a brief message this morning. I want you to turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis. The first mention of the name Father in the Bible is in the book of Genesis. Genesis is a book of beginnings. It's also a book of new things. And in Genesis chapter 15, I'm going to read two verses. I'll show you the first time the word fathers ever mentioned in the Bible. There's been a promise made to Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And in the book of Genesis 15 is where the covenant is cut. God makes a promise to Abraham to bless him and give him a son. And in the custom was that they were to take certain animals and to split them in two and lay them side by side, a ram and so on, a lamb and so on, a bullock and so on. And the two pieces laid on either side, and there would be blood that came down through here. And so Abraham waits with great anticipation for God to come and go with him down through that so they can seal that covenant. And God's going to keep his word. But what happens is Abraham falls asleep and God never shows up. But he said, in that time when he was asleep, a great darkness fell on him. And he looked and he saw a lamp, a light, go down that trail of blood by itself. And God sealed the covenant. What a wonderful picture of what Christ did for me and you. He said he would give us everlasting life. And the condition was not for me and you, but for the Lord Jesus Christ. He sealed that covenant by himself alone when he walked that trail of blood to Calvary and shed his blood for me and you. And so the covenant of God's eternal grace is based solely on what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And your salvation is based entirely on what Christ did. And we're not saved because of what we did or because of what we said, but because of what he did for us and when his son died for us. But in that context, the Lord says this, the very first use of the word Father in verse 15 of chapter number 15 is this, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. You'll go to your fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Now look over at the next reference to the word Father in the book of Genesis. It's chapter 17, and look at verse 15. Abraham become he's Abram, but he becomes Abraham, and he's the father of what we call the Jewish nation, the Hebrews. And in chapter 17, listen to this as part of God's promise to him. Verse 5, neither shalt thy name anymore be Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Those who choose to kill babies in the womb are not killing one individual. They're killing generations and generations and generations. You think about that. If you think about the great number of children that have been aborted, how many doctors have died, how many great men of faith have died, how many women who would have been doctors or nurses or school teachers have died. But then think about all of those who would never be born to them in their family lineage, never have any grandchildren, great-grandchildren. But he said to Abraham, he said, you're one man, but you're going to be a father of many nations. You think about that. We sing a little song among the children. It's called Father Abraham. I'll not have you to do that this morning. If you've ever been in Vacation Bible School or any youth meetings, you know Father Abraham. I had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. And I'm one of them, and so are you. You think about that. Here we are now, and all of the Jewish nation issued from one man. In fact, all the Arab nations issued from one man, Abraham. And my dear friend, God has blessed that Jewish nation, blessed all the Gentile nations because of him. He said, I'll make you a great nation. We call him Father Abraham. And as I thought about Abraham, let me just give you four main things this morning that Abraham as a father should pattern in our life. First of all, and I'll do it quickly, notice in chapter number 15 once again, I want you to see the first verse. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is not mine. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this is not thy heir, but he shall come forth out of thy own bowels, shall be thine heir. And he promises that God's going to give him a son. Now listen, number one, and this I trust this will bless your heart. Abraham is an example. He's called the father of the faithful. Call him Father Abraham. He's a great example. But in this regard, number one, he had a conversational relationship with God. You often speak to people. You speak to people at the drive-thru at Bojangles. You speak to people in other places you go. But who do you have a conversation with? Who do you go into detail about your life, about your needs, about your burdens, about your care? Somebody that you trust and somebody that you love and somebody that you believe can help you or at least be concerned about that. Abraham as a father, and as I draw and look at him as a father, number one, the fathers ought to have a conversational relationship with God. You say, Brother Billy, what about Baal and all this? I'm not talking about any of that right now. I'm telling you, the first requirement to be a good daddy is that you can get a hold of God and you talk with God and you can fellowship with him and you can interact with God as a father. You're going to need all the wisdom you can get to raise kids. You're going to need all the wisdom you can get to be a good husband. And you've got to learn that you've got to depend on God. Abraham, number one, as a father, is an example of those who have a conversation with God. He could talk with the Father, not just this time, but over and over again in the Word of God. It you see him and the Lord talking back and forth to one another. Now, how does he speak to us? How does he speak to you today? No different than he did then. First of all, it said the Word of the Lord came to him. Now, the Word of the Lord comes to us in different ways, but here we have in front of me the Bible. That's the Word of God. And my dear friend, if you're gonna converse with the Lord, you ought to read the Bible. I've been preaching now a long time. And when God speaks to me, primarily he speaks to me through the Word. As I read the Word of God, this is God's written Word, as it was spoken and recorded, and the Holy Spirit of God makes it real. As a father, you need to saturate your soul with the Word of God. Read the Word of God as a father. Read the Word of God as a husband. Let it get in your heart. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. And what happens to you is God speaks to you through the Word of God. God will give you direction, but then he speaks to you through the witness of the Spirit. Not only the Word of God, but the witness of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God lives in every believer, and he wants to lead you. The Lord Jesus Christ said this, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost, and he'll guide you into all truth through the witness of the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit. You pray in the Holy Ghost. And my dear friend, the Holy Spirit of God will minister your heart. And your conversing with God is through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. You pray in the Spirit. the witness of the Spirit. He talks with you and you talk with Him through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God working in our heart and life. My dear friend, I want to ask you as a father, how much you talk with the Lord? How much time do you spend talking with Him and spending time alone with the Lord? And I'm not talking about just in your little devotion in the morning, but I'm talking about all day long. And living with Him and fellowship with Him and talking with Him. And the Bible said you ought to pray without ceasing. That means that all the time you ought to be in a conversation with God the Father. Breathing a prayer, listening for His voice, a witness of the Spirit, a witness or wisdom from the Word. God the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. My dear friend, your Heavenly Father wants you to talk with Him. And my dear, as a father, your first... The thing I would say, you say, Brother Billy, what would say make you a good daddy? I'm like Brother Danny. I'm not sure I've been a good daddy. But I would say from the Word of God, what I've learned is this. You've got to learn to be able to be conversational with the Lord. I mean, just intimate, talking with Him, one-on-one, friend-to-friend. You know what He's called? He's called the friend of God. My dear friend, Father Abraham, they interacted, they talked. But not only do I notice that from this text that I've read to you this morning that he had a conversational relationship with the Lord, but my dear friend, he had a committed relationship with the Father, with God. He was committed to Him. He was willing to do and go wherever God wanted to go. God said to Abraham, get up from among thy people and thy kindred and go. And he did. And my dear friend, when God speaks, you ought to go. You ought to have such commitment to the Lord that you're willing to do what He wants you to do. God leading you in your life, committed to Him, commit your way to Him, commit your life to Him, commit everything, commit your children to Him. And quite often as you begin to grow as a father and as a mother, there come a time that you can't be with your children all the time. But what you need to do is commit them to the Lord. He loved them before you ever did. He knew them before you ever did. And my dear friend, you'll have to trust Him with your children. And you have to have a relationship with Him where you can trust Him. A lot of time when people are talking about different ones, I saw something weird on the news the other day. They're doing all of the different kind of things. They've got people who share rides and people who share apartments and this, that, and the other. But the other day I saw something on the news where there are people who are now advertising that they'll be like a part-time mom or dad, a part-time mom or dad. In other words, what you do is you set up an appointment with them. They'd come pick your son up and take him to ball practice for you. Or they'd take your daughter to wherever she's going, to cheer camp or wherever. And they'll come get your children and take them somewhere. And my first thought was, boy, I'm not letting anybody take one of my children unless I know them. I mean, I don't care. You say, well, they're going to be screened and they're going to be licensed. I don't care. There are a lot of nuts out there. Do you know that? I don't want to trust my children to somebody or anybody unless I have a personal relationship with them and know them intimately and trust them. And Lord, listen, Abraham committed his life to the Lord, and he was willing to trust his children to them. Third thing is this. He had a confident relationship with the Lord. That is this. Notice what it says, as I quoted to you a while ago. The Bible said Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him in chapter 15, verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. He had a confidence in the Lord. He believed God, believed in the Lord. He believed that God could do anything. Abraham trusted God, and God demonstrated that in Abraham's life. If you're going to be a good daddy, you got to, by your example, let your children know you can trust God. We're going to trust God. I've got a job, but the reason I have a job is because of the Lord. I'm able to work. I'm physically able to go to work, but the reason I can do that is because of the Lord. And God's been good to us. And when bad times come and hard times come, we're going to say, God's going to take care of us. If you're going to be a good daddy, you got to have a conversation, be a conversational with the Lord, know Him one-on-one. You've got to be committed to Him, and you've got to have complete confidence in Him. And then just quickly, the last thing is this. I say this to you. He is cared for by the Lord. To be a good daddy, you've got to be aware of the fact that you can't do it. You can't meet the needs of your family, but God can. You'll be a channel through which God blesses. Listen to what the Bible says. My God shall supply all of your needs. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so all of the blessings to me and you come through Jesus from God the Father. There's somebody that is responsible for the blessing of God standing down to us. You ought to teach your children that all the blessings they have that comes out of your pocket, out of your wallet, out of your checkbook, when you give them new shoes or new clothes, listen, you ought to make them understand that it really came from God. It came from the Father. Look in chapter 15 once again in verse 1. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Everything that Abraham received came from the Lord. And he recognized that God took care of him, and that God through him would take care of his family, and that God would bless all of that. Notice in verse 15 again of chapter 15, I'm through. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. God will take care of your troubles. You ought to teach your children that whenever there's a need or a burden, and you don't get all anxious, you don't get bent out of shape, you have complete peace because you know who's going to take care of you. Trust the Lord, and you exemplify that to your children. God's in control of this. They need to know that. They're going to panic and they go crazy if you're not with them. But if you'll teach them that he's a God of peace, and in all of your trouble, he'll give you peace. And then notice this last little thought here in that verse 15. He says, God says to Abraham, and you'll go to your fathers in peace. That means he's going to die, and he'll die in peace. You ought to teach your children, as David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your commitment to Christ and you knowing that he's going to take care of you means that he'll take care of you regardless of what you're facing. If you face cancer, if you face some other disease, whatever it is God chooses for you to go to heaven, you can go through that with peace in your heart. And he says to Abraham, Abraham, you're going to go to heaven, or you're going to go to be with your fathers. And he said, but you know what? He said, you'll go with peace. You'll go with peace. And he goes on the rest of that verse and he says this, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. God promised Abraham length of days to live a good life. And my dear friend, when you know that God's going to take care of you, God made Abraham that promise long before he ever died. That he said, you're going to leave out of here. You're going to go to be with your fathers. You're going to leave out of here in peace. And you're going to leave here at a good old age. What a blessing. If you're going to be a good daddy, it's not by, you know, buying brand name tennis shoes to your kids. I want you to do the best you can by them. You know that. And the brand name clothes. But you need to teach your children that you have a conversational relationship with God. You have a committed relationship with him. You have a confident relationship with him. And you're cared for constantly by him. That he's one in control. He'll take care of them, take care of you. My dear friend, I hope that you'll do that. Thank you for being here today in the house of the Lord, dear fathers. Let's bow together for a word of prayer together. As we bow together, there are all kind of manuals and everything. There are books and manuals on how to be a good daddy, how to be a good father. But I'm going to tell you, if Jesus said this, if you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto you. I am convinced that if you want to be a good daddy, if you want to be a good father, you've got to have a conversational relationship with God. Being his child and knowing he'll take care of you. And have a committed relationship to him. I love the Lord. When you die, you may be a great doctor or lawyer, whatever. But when your children speak of you and others speak of you, the greatest thing your child could ever say when you leave this world is this: my daddy loved the Lord, and he was committed to him. You ought to have a life as a daddy that you have complete confidence in God. I'm not trusting the government, not trusting my own ability, but I'm trusting the Lord. God will take care of you and he'll take care of me. And children, all that I've got came from God. God's going to take care of me. He'll take care of you. Leave your children and teach your children that God will take care of you. He'll meet every need they've got. If they'll love him and serve him, commit to him. Learn to talk with him. God, listen, when it's all said and done, it all boils down to your personal relationship with God the Father. Every one of us is going to make some mistakes. Every one of us makes some things wrong. But if our children will grow up knowing that we were committed to the Lord, that we prayed, we talked with him, we had complete confidence, and we acknowledge the fact that God's the one who took care of us, you'll be done a great service to your children. I don't know. This is just on my heart this morning. I don't think we'll give an invitation to come forward this morning. What I want to ask you right now while you're here, some of our fathers, well up in age, some of your brand new daddies. And I promise you, some of these older fathers would tell all the young fathers, you just trust the Lord. Look to him, love him. He'll help you. And I want to ask you to do that. Now, not only is this true of men, but it's true of women as well. You said, Brother Billy, you said some things in the beginning about abortion. Maybe there's somebody in the sound of my voice here in the auditorium or in the radio audience who've had an abortion. Some of it is you under great pressure from people you trusted. Having done that, you feel like you made a mistake. Maybe you did it knowing what you were doing. But can I say to you, he's a God of grace and mercy. If you'd come to him and say, oh God, I want you to forgive me for that. And God, I pray, God, you'd help me to love you and serve you and use me to be an influence on some other young girls. I promise you, he said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful just to forgive you and to cleanse you. And out of all the experiences you had, you could be a blessing to somebody else. I encourage you to do that. This morning, if you have a burden or a need, I want to tell you just like Abraham learned, he'll take care of you. He'll be your shield. He'll be your supply. He'll take care of you in every area, give you everything you need. My dear friend, I want to ask you to commit to him. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, first of all, we pray this prayer and the Lord's prayer that I preached on our Father. The only way he gets to be your Father is if you have trusted him as your Savior and you become a child of the King. I wonder if there's a man or a woman, a boy or girl here this morning who'd say, Brother Billy, I've never been saved, but I want you to pray for me. I want to be saved before it's too late, and preacher, pray that I'd be saved. I don't know if I died now, I'd go to heaven, and preacher, pray for me. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. I'm going to look across the congregation. Anybody in here like that, say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to you. But I want to know that I'm saved and heaven is my home. Anybody like that this morning? Have a burden? I wonder if there's some here this morning who'd say, Brother Billy, I'm a Christian. But what you've said this morning about Abraham needs to be true in my life as a daddy. I want to have a conversational relationship with him. I want to be intimate with God. I want to be able to talk with him one-on-one. And for him to speak to me through his word and through the Holy Spirit. I want to have my life committed to him. I want to live for him in these last days and be committed to him. And I want to have complete confidence in him. And I want to exhibit and testify that he takes care of me. And I want to teach that to those around me, that God will take care of you. You say, preacher, I'm not there in all those areas, but I wish you'd pray for me. Would you raise your hand, men and women across the congregation? God bless you. Amen. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer. And then we'll have a prayer. We're going to sing happy birthday and anniversary today. And then I want to share a few announcements first. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Spirit right now, God would help us Our Father, you're a godly example. God, help us to learn, our Father, from you being our Father. Lord, help us to understand how you listen to us attentively. Father, help us to learn that you guide us patiently. Help us to learn that you chasten us lovingly. And God, I pray you'd help us, our Father, to know that you supply us lovingly. God, I pray, Father, you'd meet every need. And God, for our dear friends who raised their hand, didn't see anybody raise their hand and say they've been lost, Lord. But God, you know who they are if they're not saved. God, bring conviction. Pray they'd be saved. Thank you for all the dads who are here. God, for their being here, a godly example by their presence. I pray, God, you bless them as they raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And God, I pray, God, you'd help me, God, to be a good pastor, a good daddy, a good granddaddy, to honor you. And I pray most of all, our Father, that all those who are my children, my grandchildren, they could look and say, he loves the Lord. And I pray, God, they'll follow that example more than anything in all this world, that they live for Jesus. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.